You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Ken Timmerman, a Renaissance man, an investigative reporter of great renown, a man who has authored numerous books, both fiction and nonfiction, including most recently Deception, the making of the YouTube video Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi. He's also been very active for a long time as a freedom fighter, notably as the president and CEO of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran. His work in that regard earned him a nomination for a Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 as he strove to expose and shut down Iran's nuclear weapons program, which has unfortunately only become more imminent in the intervening years. Ken Timmerman, I'm so glad to have you back with us. Thank you. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first of all, we were just talking with Diana West about her take on the UN address the president made yesterday. I'd like very quickly to get yours.
Well, I agree with what Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel said. It was a bold speech. It was a clear speech. And it was a very necessary speech, putting the world community and the United Nations on notice that the United States was going to finally act in its own interest and hopefully find common interest with other countries.
I think Netanyahu used some formulation like it was the most extraordinary speech he'd heard of that kind in the United Nations in some 30 years. Yeah, and I tend to agree. Ken, of course, one of the key pieces of that speech was the president calling out the various threats to international peace that the UN is supposed to be trying to safeguard. Prominent among them, and it came in for a very sustained denunciation, was, of course, the mullahocracy of Iran. You've spent a lot of time, both in the region and from over on this side of the pond, warning about trying to help the rest of us understand the threat emanating from that country. Ken, I wanted to get your take on what the president said about Iran in his remarks to the United Nations.
Well, I was heartened by what President Trump said. I think it's the first time since George W. Bush in 2003. President Trump clearly dissociated the Iranian regime, the clerical regime, from the Iranian people, just the opposite of what Obama had done. And he said the first thing the Iranian regime needs to do is to set its people free. They are oppressing their own people. They're using their money to support Hezbollah, to spread terrorism around the world instead of bettering the lot of their own people. I think it was an extraordinarily important thing to say. It was an important thing for the U.S. president to say.
Well, I want to talk to you about the policy business. One of the things that we had coming out of those remarks, of course, was a reiteration of the kind of condemnation of the JCPOA, as it's called formally. I think of it as the Obama bomb deal. When you heard what he said about that, Ken, did you come away with the sense that he is going to renounce it, that it's over? And if so, what do you expect will come of the conversations that Rex Tillerson is having with the Iranians and the other parties to that joint agreement?
Far be it for me to read what's in President Trump's mind. He has a way of surprising us all, but it sure sounded like he was saying the deal with Iran was over and that Tillerson was going to inform the Iranians that they had to make very, very serious changes to the deal, and notably the sunset provisions that allow them to do whatever they want in the nuclear arena after 8 to 10 years. And the Iranians have made clear that they are not open at all to any kind of changes to this deal because they got the best deal they could possibly hope for. Every time they were negotiating with John Kerry, and Kerry said, "Well, isn't this what you want?" And they would say, no, we want more." And Kerry continuously gave them more.
Ken, I remember vividly the European saying privately that Kerry was acting as the Iranian's lawyer, trying always to represent his client, which is not how that was supposed to work. But you're right, and I think President Trump was right in calling it an embarrassment to the United States that this kind of deal went down under President Obama and John Kerry's watch. Let me ask you, as we talk about this Tillerson meeting with the so-called permanent five plus one, that is to say the UN Security Council plus the Germans, and the Iranian foreign minister today, we're having the conversation before that meeting is concluded. This program will air afterwards. One of my concerns is that Rex Tillerson has not consistently, faithfully elaborated on and helped translate into action the president's policies as he has announced them. Should we be concerned that that may be the upshot of this conversation today?
Look, I'm looking at this from the outside, but frankly, if Rex Tillerson backs away from that, from the president's very, very strong criticism of the Iran deal, saying it was the worst deal ever negotiated, if he backs away even one iota, I would imagine that his tenure as Secretary of State would be in jeopardy. And if not, it should be.
Well, let's hope. We've watched Tillerson and others, notably H.R. McMaster at the National Security Council, inserting wiggle room where there shouldn't be any. Hey, Ken, let me turn to a different topic, not unrelated, of course, but still in the Middle East, though. It involves a referendum coming up this weekend, as I understand it, or early next week, in the Kurdish part of Iraq. I know you've been there recently. You've reported about what the Kurds are up to and what they aspire to and why we should be supporting them. I was rather surprised, though, to see you recently announcing that you thought it's time to take the group known as the PKK, a group the United States government has long considered to be a terrorist organization, as has the government of Turkey, against which the PKK has operated for a long time, off the list of terrorist organizations. Talk about both of these issues, the Kurdish referendum, if you would, their aspirations, and where the PKK fits into all of that.
Well, the Kurds in northern Iraq are want to lay down a marker, first of all, vis-a-vis the Iraqi government, which is welched on every agreement it's ever made with them, and which today is dominated by the Iranian regime, but also to Kurds in Turkey, in Syria, and in Iran, that they too can aspire to independence. They would like to see a greater Kurdistan. That's not in the cards today. Possibly not tomorrow, but the day after, it certainly could be in the cards. As to the PKK, you know, Frank, for years I have resisted any kind of association. I haven't met with the PKK. I have agreed or thought I agreed with Turkey's denunciation of them as a terrorist group. And recently I've had opportunities to meet with their people in northern Iraq and elsewhere. And they provided me with new information that changed my view. So has the behavior of Erdogan changed my opinion. Number one, they provided me with compelling information that a lot of the so-called terrorist attacks inside Turkey were actually not carried out by the PKK, but by provocateurs, you know, groups that had been put up to it by Turkish intelligence. Even the Belgian appeals court, and my article was pegged to an appeals court decision that found that the PKK was not a terrorist group, but a party to an armed conflict with the government of Turkey. Even they found that these were done by provocative agents working for the Turks. So the PKK is not carrying out terrorist attacks inside Turkey. They are in a military struggle. And then Erdogan is an Islamist dictator. He is not behaving in the interest of the United States. He's attacking our allies, our Kurdish allies in Syria with his military forces. I think it's time to put Erdogan on notice that he can't just get away with suppressing the rights of a very, very large portion of the Turkish population.
Ken Timmerman, your study of these subjects and your thoughtful and clarifying insights into them and what we should be doing about them is really appreciated. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, we will be speaking with Joe DeGeneva about the latest revelations of the Obama administration's abuse of our national security capabilities for political warfare against President Trump's campaign. That and more straight ahead.